Please be seated. You know, we, as a people, I think we tend to want things to move pretty quickly. And maybe you might even wish the sermon was over right now. You know. With little kids, you know, when you take a trip and a vacation, that constant refrain is, are we there yet? Are we there yet? And you just pulled out of the driveway, right? But it's not all so bad. We do know how to stop and to pause and to reflect and to think about our lives and to take a moment. We know how to take pictures and to look at photo albums. My family, we have this tradition of when we take a trip anywhere, go somewhere different, we like to get Christmas ornaments, collect a Christmas ornament that reminds us maybe of that trip or of that place or maybe with a person, so that you know you put it on the tree and you remember it every year, those things. My kids, they like to pick up every stick and rock on the way home, right? And while in the moment, that is annoying as anything, right? When you're just trying to get to where you need to get to, most mornings, when I leave and I see that big pile of sticks and rocks there at the front door, it's a good reminder to me of kind of where we've been and the love that we have for one another. So just like looking through a photo album or collecting of some collectibles or looking at, you know, piles of sticks and rocks that help us see where we have been. So also, do we need help to remind us in our faith, in our life with God, of where we have been, to help us know where we are going, to look at the story of God that has been with us as individuals, and God has been with us as a congregation, and God has been with us as his people, that we don't always see day to day. Today we have a reading from 2 Chronicles. I would venture to guess you've probably never heard anyone preach from 2 Chronicles. It doesn't come up in the lectionary very at all. But just kind of the story of what is the book of Chronicles. We're going to think about the whole books together. When you read through them, you might think, well, this is just a rehash of everything that came before in the Old Testament. It seems like, well, it's kind of telling everything all over again. Why do we need to hear these stories again? Isn't that kind of a waste of time? You know, can't we just get to the end already? Why do we need to tell the story one more time? Well, as if we were to stop and just kind of really meditate upon God's word and to read it again and again and again and reflect upon it, there's a few things we might just kind of notice as you would get through the book of Chronicles. Yeah, it does tell the same basic stories as Samuel and Kings, but also something different. It adds some things, it leaves some things out, it puts a different emphasis in different places. And that helps us try to understand what the writer is trying to tell us about ourselves and to tell us about our God. So let's think about how you would tell your own life story. A certain big moments in your life. Maybe it's the story of how you met your spouse. Right? If I were to tell that story, I could have like the one sentence answer, which is, you know, we met on Vicarage and it'd be done. Right? And you kind of fill in all the story after that. Or I could tell you the long story, right? And maybe in that we would tell about, here's why we picked a certain date for our wedding. That was the day that we met one another. I could tell you how we got to know one another over that year, and I could tell how I dated her roommate first, right? And maybe you'd say, oh, that's all these things we might tell is to say, well, that tells us about our relationship now, right? Days that are important to us, a sense of, selecting, right? A selection that has happened with one another. I mean, we could tell all these kind of stories, but I might not tell you about the fights that we had, right? Why would I want to tell you those things, right? And all the arguments that you had throughout that year. Is that what we want to reflect upon in our life together now? Right, see, we all do this. We all self-select the stories we want to tell. Not that those things didn't happen, but we're trying to reflect upon now that where we are and where do we want to go, let me tell you those stories that help you understand understand all of that. So that's kind of what the Book of Chronicles is doing for us. You know, we might think, well, that it's just a history book, right? Because it tells, you know, stories and events and things like that. But as the Hebrew people thought about it, they looked at it as a prophetic book. It was included as part of the prophets. That it was pointing forward to the glorious future of God's kingdom. And he does that by reflecting upon the past. The people of God, they are returned out of exile, and they built a temple, but it's rinky-dink temple, right? It's small. It's not so great. Some people have come back out of exile, but not everybody. Most of the people of God are dispersed, and they're gone, and they're lost forever. God's presence that was there in the temple, there in Solomon's temple, is gone and doesn't ever come back. And so they're in this place, and they're wondering, what's going to happen? Well, how is this ever going to be good for us? And so he points them to the future by helping them think about the past. And recounts their story. And if we know the story of God's people, it is not always so good. Okay, their kings are not all so great. The priests are not all so great. Okay, they're often adequate at best. Okay, and often it's really messy. And people are fraught with all kind of sin and evil. And they do all kind of horrible things. And they oppress their people. That's why they end up in exile. Right, is the way that they were. But as the writer here recounts their story, he paints most of it in a very positive light. And that's meant not to deny the past, to say it didn't happen, but it's meant to encourage them to think about the faithfulness of God as they wait for God to act. And to help them focus God to be the center of their life. That God was faithful to them even while they were in captivity, and so that they could trust God to carry out his promise into the future. They don't forget the past. They don't try to tell us that the past is all great, because they know deeply the oppression of their kings, the injustice of the priests. They know it personally and deeply. But he does want them to see, what does faithfulness look like? What does obedience look like at its best, even in their own past? That they're examples of it. So they would look forward to a future king that would be all of these best things and lead them in obedience to God. And that would result in blessings to God's people. And that would drive them further into this truth that God has saved them and will deliver them again. So as they remember the whole story of God, that helps them embrace the truth of who God is and what he has done and what he does on our behalf. And to see that God is the chief choreographer, right, of this dance of redemption for the world, but also in your life as well. That it's God who remembers, it's God who does the miracles, it's God who does the healings, and it's God who protects, and it's God who strikes down the enemy, it's God who turns the heart, it's God who acts on your behalf. Even in the midst of horrible situations, it is God who lovingly and is sovereignly at work on behalf of his people. And even in those horrible situations, God is working. So can you, can you remember what God has done in your life of salvation? Maybe you can remember your baptism. Maybe it's you remember it by looking at a certificate, maybe that marks that day. Maybe you remember other moments in your life that you have had. Maybe it was a youth trip. Maybe it was a Sunday school teacher. Maybe it was just a moment, a passage that came to you that has been meaningful now in your life. that you can see that now God is using that. Maybe it was a tragic event in your life that God used to turn you to Him, to be the center of your life. Can you see how God is dancing, right, with you? The book of Chronicles ends with, it's a word of hope. What we read this morning was, it's the last few verses of the book of Chronicles. In the Hebrew scripture, Chronicles would have been the last book of the Bible. It's Jesus' Bible. Those were the last words that were recorded. And it ends with a message of hope. And so let's hear it again. It says, "Thus says Cyrus, the king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven has given me all the kingdoms of the earth." Maybe that doesn't seem so hopeful. This pagan king is in charge of everything. That might be how it feels sometimes. It seems like those that have nothing to do with God seem like they're in charge of everything. But then he says this. "He has charged me to build him a house in Jerusalem, and that whoever is among all of you, his people, may the Lord God be with him, and let him go up." See, there's going to be another temple. And it's a temple not that was rebuilt in Jerusalem after they came out of exile, right? That one was pale and nothing compared to what will one day come. Another temple, another leader, another king, another priest, who will lead God's people back into a relationship with Him. It leaves us waiting and wanting for this one to come and to trust beyond all the evidence in front of us that it'll ever come, that we would wait on God's promises, not in the timeline we want or in the way that we want or the way that we might expect. And that one that is promised starts up in Matthew chapter 1. Right? It's Jesus. Right? This is the story of Jesus, who has come to fulfill. The one who has come to be that priest, who has gone to be the king, to lead us back closer to God. And he comes into you, right, as his temple. If this last year has been heavy on the side of hardship, as followers of Jesus, we can look at those difficulties. We can look back on them. And we can remember it. We don't have to try to ignore it and pretend it didn't happen. But we can see it inside of a bigger story of God's redemption. A story in which God is working all things to the good of his people. Working all things that it would drive you closer and closer to him. That he would use even unexpected and tragic situations, even things like his own death. As we look back, that helps us to look forward. As you looking back in your own life, how is that driving you forward? To see how God is working outside, inside of these unexpected and tragic situations to bring you the joy of being more and more like him. Many of us need this word of hope, a word of hope which is not this idea that everything is great and rosy around us and everything is wonderful, not that things are just going to get better on their own, but to have a hope that would wrestle with our despair, a hope that wrestles with loss, and that hope would generate within us an energy to be courageous, and to step forward in that hope, bearing witness to what we know the end will be. Even though it doesn't always look good today, we can be full of hope. Hope for ourselves, hope for this world. But not only do we look back and do we remember, but God also remembers. The psalmist tells us that God remembers his promise. His promise to his people to lead us into salvation, to lead us into joy, to experience what life would really meant to be like, what it's meant to be like. And as a congregation, we only can move forward in mission as we look back on our salvation. To remember the past of our life together. To remember what God has brought us through. And to remember those stories to help us point us forward. Not that we just say remembering a past, but to remember it so that it moves us forward. What he has brought us through. Like the whole of Scripture, we can be honest about things, the good, the bad, the ugly, right? To remember it all. And to see how that does drive us forward. We don't have to pretend that it was always good. Israel didn't do that, for sure. But they remembered their story to point them forward. To see where they've been. To see where they're going. With an eye of hope to the future. That God's future. That God is working all these things to bring us closer to Him. And so may this God of hope fill you with all of His joy and all of His peace as you trust in Him. In His name, amen.